Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to ask you today, can you hear Him? We just talked about trusting Him. You know what we need to be able to do is to hear Him, is to hear God. And so, Father, right now, in Your name, Jesus, I ask You, Holy Spirit, we pray together, the prayer warriors, we pray together for our church, we pray together for this service, and I ask You, Holy Spirit, that You'd come in Your saving power and Your healing power, and I ask that You would help me to say just what I need to say, because I want everybody that's here today to have a fresh concept of how to hear You. And so we give You praise and we give You glory for that. And it's all You, Jesus. It's all You. Give Him some praise. I hope you've been, I've had several of you commenting to me, but I hope you've been spending some time like I asked you to a few weeks ago in John 14, 15, and 16. I think it'll change your life if you can. But I just thought of something. How many ever heard somebody say that God told them something? And you know as well as night and day that God didn't told them that. It was just something they thought. Anybody ever hear somebody say that? Let's get a little more personal. How many ever thought God told you something and you found out later on He really didn't tell you? How many think it'd be expedient for us to learn how to hear His voice? Okay? And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do, and I think that's what He wants to say this morning. That's why I want to get right into this. You got to realize I've been thinking about this message for almost 4 weeks, so I got to try to pick and cut and let Him just say the parts that He wants, or you'll still be here tonight when it's Pam's turn to talk, okay? And we don't want to do that because we want to eat after a while, don't we? Anyway, so I thought, first off, I just want to pick a few scriptures out of 14, 15, and 16. I just want to pick a few scriptures out and talk about the Holy Spirit. Just why did He come? What's He going to say to us? How are we going to recognize His voice? And the thing is, you ask yourself the question, can I hear Him? To some of you, this might be real elementary, but I believe even if it is elementary to you, it'll freshen you and you'll have a new concept and you'll be able to separate in your mind what's God and what isn't. Would that be a good deal? Would for me. So now, first of all, let me just read to you John 14. Let me read 16 and 17. It says, Jesus says, now remember, He's getting ready to go to the Father, He's getting ready to go to the cross, and He's telling the people, He's saying, hey, now I'm going to secure a place for you, or I'm going to, He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. That word mansions means placements. And He says, I'm going to secure a place for you. I believe the house of God is the heart of God. And He says, I'm going to secure and fix a place for you so that you can get into the heart of God. Okay, now I want to say this as simply as I can say it today. So if I don't say something just exactly like you think, don't fall out with me. Don't miss what God wants to tell you. But He says, I'm getting ready to go, and I'm gonna go secure a place. I'm gonna go fix it so you can get into the Father's heart. And He says, I'm gonna send somebody back to help you get there. Verse 16, He says, and 17, He says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper or comforter, that He may abide with you forever, that He live with you forever, be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you'll know Him. For He dwells with you, but He's going to be in you. Then verse 18, I'll throw that one in. He says, I won't leave you orphans. I'll come to you. So he's saying here, he says, I'm leaving you. Going to be a shock, I'm leaving you, but I'm sending you back somebody to take my place. Is it okay? Now, is it okay if we talk real simple today so we can all understand? Okay, so everybody go like this. Click. Come on, everybody go click. Come on, Jim, go click. That means I'm clicking off religious thinking. And I want to hear what the Spirit says to me. He says, I'm leaving, so I'm going to send somebody back to take my place, and he'll abide with you or he'll live with you. And let me just throw this in right now. The Holy Spirit, God's not interested in a part-time job. He says, I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to live with you. And he says another statement here. He says, the world can't receive him, but you'll know him. You'll know him. She says, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is coming down. The natural world can't see him. In the natural, he can't be seen. In our natural thinking, we can't recognize him because he's spirit. He said, but he tells the disciples, he said, but you'll recognize him. You'll recognize him because he's been with you. I mean, we've been walking around for 3.5 years, Peter. Come on, James. We've been walking around for 3.5 years, John. Come on, we've been walking around for 3.5 years, and everything you've seen me do was what the Father did in me, and this is how he did it, and I'm sending him back to you. You've been exposed to him, so you'll recognize him. He says, He's worked with me and you'll recognize him. But now he's not just going to be around you and with you. He's going to be in you. And he says, and through him, I'll be able to come to you. Okay? Now he goes on in verse 21 and he says, because he's in you, you'll be able to see me and you'll be able to hear me and I'll be able to manifest myself to you. Let me just read verse 21. Where is it? Verse 21. There he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now you gotta catch what he's saying for this to all make sense to you. He's not saying I've got a list of rules here for you to do, keep all the commandments. That's not what he's saying. He's saying I'm going to come back with an intimate relationship with you, and I'm going to be able to visit you. I'm going to be able to talk to you. And if you will walk that place with me, and if you will hear me and keep my commandments, I'll manifest myself to you. If you'll hear me and do what I tell you to do, I'll manifest myself to you. How many could use him to manifest himself into your life? Huh? Could you use that a little bit? In your marriage, in your health, in your finances? He goes on to say, and because he dwells in you, me and my Father will be able to make our abode in you. We'll be able to come and make our home in you. You understand what he's talking about here? He's talking about a closeness. He's talking about an intimacy with Father. He says, and he goes on to say, because you dwell in me, he says, now I'm here telling you this in the flesh. Now, I'm here talking to you in the flesh. But I'm getting ready to leave. And from now on, I'm going to be talking to you a different way. I'm going to be talking to you through this one that I'm sending back. When I'm gone, verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things. He'll bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Hear what he's saying here. He's saying, you'll recognize his voice because you'll recognize my voice. He'll tell you the same things I've been telling you, and you'll realize that that is me, that that is God. Intimacy. Relationship. And in chapter 15, verse 26, he says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Now you got to catch a glimpse. You got to get out of the religious thinking and out of the King James thinking and realize he's talking intimacy to these folks. He's talking it to us. And he says, when the helper comes, when the one I'm sending, when the Holy Spirit comes, you got to realize that he is the very heart of God. He is the very Spirit of God. And he won't talk about anybody but me. He won't talk about you. He won't tell what a good sermon you did. He won't tell what a good sermon somebody else did. He won't talk about your good works. He'll talk about it's all because of Jesus. He'll talk about the great work that Jesus did. He'll talk about that Jesus is Lord, that he'll come into your life, that he'll help you, that he cares about everything in your life. Now, you can get excited anytime you want to, okay? You don't need permission, okay? I'm trying to talk in regular English here, okay? He says, now he goes on to say, now it's to your advantage that I go, because if I don't go, I can't send him. And I want to go and do this and pay this price and do all that I got to do, so then me and Father can send him back to you, because then he won't just be able to be with you, he'll be able to be in you. Do you understand how you're going to be able to do the greater things than him? Because he's going to be in you. The Holy Spirit isn't an it. He's a person. Yes, give him some praise. He doesn't like it when you praise him, but I do it anyway because I love the Holy Spirit. I can't live without him. I can't take a breath without him. I can't take a step without him. And so in verse 16, verse 8, he says, I got to go so I can send him back, so I can send the helper back, so I can send the one you need to make it back, so I can send the very heart, the very spirit of me and my Father back to live in you, so you can not only live life, you can live it more abundantly. Verse 8 he says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And righteousness. Let me read this. He says, of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Okay, now listen to this. He says he's come. He says the Holy Spirit's come to convict. Now listen, we need to get the image of the Holy Spirit right in our thinking. The Holy Spirit isn't somebody that just comes to get on you. He isn't somebody to come and just tell you when you've sinned. Matter of fact, when what this verse is talking about here, sin is singular. He's not even talking about your sins or my sins. He's talking about the Holy Spirit is coming back to convict. Let me use another word. The Holy Spirit is coming back to show the world that they should believe in Jesus. Let me just say something. If you miss heaven today, if you die today and you don't go to heaven, it won't be because of your sins. It'll be because of the one sin by you that you did by not receiving Jesus Christ. You with me? So I want you to get the right image of the Holy Spirit here. He's not here just to reprove. He's here to reveal. See, he doesn't come into your life and just tell you you're lost, you're going to hell. No, then he reveals the plan of Jesus in you. He reveals the magnificence of Jesus in you. He testifies of him. He leads you into the abundant life that God has for you if you let him. Are you with me? He says, of righteousness, because I go to the Father. You know, he not only, Jesus, how many know Jesus, because of what he did, put us in right standing with God. We are the righteousness of God. But see, the Holy Spirit doesn't just reveal to you that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. He doesn't just reveal to you that there's nothing in ourself that's good enough to receive it or to be there. He lets us see that. He reveals that to us. But then he ushers us in to the realization that I'm right with my Father. I'm right with my Father. Is anything coming out, Shirley? Can you hear me in that corner? Hank, can you hear me back there? He reveals my righteousness to me, you see? Amen. Of judgment? Of judgment, the thought came to me. He has judged sin already. Let me tell you something. He has already, Jesus came, went to the cross, died, went down into hell. God raised him from the dead, and he judged the devil and all his angels. He judged sin. The judgment is there. The devil knows where he ends up. He knows the end of his story. And so that's why he tries so hard to get as many people as he can to come with him. He thinks that somehow that's going to ease the pain and the torment, but it's not. Don't you be tricked into going there. Don't you be tricked into it. So he not only, you know, the Holy Spirit reveals to you sin, but he also tries to lead you away from it. Tries to lead you as far away from it as he can. Pretty good deal. Verse 14 and 15. I got to hurry here. I'm supposed to already be done with this page. It says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. Therefore, I say he'll take what's mine and give it to you. Now listen to me. Do you understand what he just said there? He said, it glorifies me for you to have everything I have. Amen. Come on. If we don't get where, you got to let that sink in. Amen. It glorifies me for you to have everything I'm going to go pay the price for here. It glorifies me for you to be healed. It glorifies me for you to have more than enough. It glorifies me for your marriage to be strong. It glorifies me for my power to flow through you. Well, I just don't know if it's God's will to heal me or not. Well, I know he's got plenty, but I just don't know. I just don't want to have too much. It might make me backslide. Baloney. Baloney. Sorry. And I'm not asking you to raise your hand if you ever think that way, because we all do and we all have. But that's baloney. That's not what Jesus said. Are you with me? And that's not what the Holy Spirit will tell you, because he's only going to tell you the things that he hears. Well, so you understand what we've said so far. He says, hey, I'm going to a place. I'm going to secure you a place with Daddy, with Father. I'm going to make it possible. I'm going to do everything it takes to make it possible for you to have the same relationship with Daddy that I have. Hear it. Holy Spirit, if you don't speak this to our heart, we won't hear it. I'm going to make it possible for you to have that same relationship. And everything you've seen me do, it wasn't me. It was that Father that was in me. It was that Spirit of him that was in me. He does the work. And I'm going to send him back for you. I'm going to send this helper back for you, this comforter back for you. He will enable you to do everything I did. And more. You hear that? He's going to enable you to do everything I did and more. That's what he says there. He's the very one who's been in me, and now he will be in you. He'll lead you, he'll guide you, he'll speak to you. Everything the Father says, everything I say, he'll tell it to you. And not only that, but he'll declare, he'll make available to you everything I have. You understand? He'll declare it to you. He'll make it available to you. He'll give it to you. You just have to take it. Greg talked about receiving the harvest. You just have to reach out in faith and take it. He said, but hold it, guys. You don't have the whole, you don't have the concept of it yet. Not everything Daddy has is mine. Now let me say it again. He's going to take everything that's mine and give it to you. You have all things through Christ who strengthened you. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And whatever you get, I hope you happen to do the right formula, but whatever you get, whatever happens, if you didn't get all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed, He's still big enough to bring it into your life. And it'll make you work harder the next day. It'll make you try harder the next time. It'll make you try to get it right instead of trying to get it right so He'll do it. No, He'll do it, and then He'll help you get it right. Whew. He'll lead you and guide you. He'll speak to you. Everything He hears me and Daddy say, He'll declare it's all available to you. He'll cause you to glorify me. Listen to this. He'll cause you to glorify me by enabling, empowering you to walk just like I've walked. Folks, you gotta catch the key. We're all looking for the key. How do we get blessed? We're all looking for the magic lamp to rub. We're all looking for the genie. We're all looking for the four-leaf clover. Let me tell you, it's all locked up. It's all locked up in your relationship with Daddy. Because when you can go up to Daddy and sit on his knee and say, Daddy, I love you, his heart just goes, whoa, man. Parents, you can understand that. Well, so, how many think, I've got to move on here, how many think that He wants to do a pretty good deal for us? Huh? How many think that'd be a pretty good deal? Well, if He wants to do all that, then maybe I need to figure out my end of this deal. Maybe I need to tune up and tweak and let the Holy Spirit show me and reveal to me, how do I hear this? How do I know? How do I hear Him? First, you have to understand. We, man, woman, guys, us, people, flesh and blood, we are a trinity. Just like God is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? We are a Trinity. We are body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may He make your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what He's saying? He says, we are spirit, soul, and body. Okay, we are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. He says it again in Hebrews 4. If you've got that, put it up. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. And he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen to me. He says, the soul, the spirit. Now that joints and marrow is the body. It's the flesh. But He says something interesting here. He said the Word of God is sharp and it's powerful. And it's able to separate what is spiritual, what is soulish, and what is physical. Hear what He's saying. I read this for years and didn't see this till a week or so ago. He says, matter of fact, the Holy Spirit will show you what is spiritual, what is coming from your mind, what is coming from your body. The Word of God will separate that. He'll separate those thoughts. How many think it'd be a good idea to know which thoughts your spirit was saying and which thoughts your body was saying and which thoughts your mind was saying? And how many know we get them all confused? That's what I want to help you with today. See, we are a spirit. We have our spirit is where meaning and purpose and love reside. Our soul, our mental intellect is our personality, our thinking, our reasoning, our beliefs, our attitudes, our feelings, our emotions, our memories, our will. It's what we make the choices with. Are you with me? The body is, we live in a body, that's our nerves and our brain and our organs and our cells. That's the five senses. That's how our body is in touch with all the five senses, what we hear, see, smell, taste, feel. I want you to get this. The body is the external part. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. The spirit is the inner core. We got this first thing up here, but if you will, I got a pair of coveralls that cover everything except my head. And in the summertime, in the wintertime, I put them on and I zip them up and I have these coveralls. And if you look at me, all you see is my coveralls. I want you to get a clear picture in your mind. I want you to hear this, see this. Our body, if we had a zipper on it and we unzipped our flesh, it would fall down like those coveralls will. That's what happens when we die. But our spirit would come out. Our spirit is the same form as our body. Now, not exactly the same form, because we've taken the coveralls and we've stuck stuff in them and got them puffed out in areas and we've got them stained. You with me? You with me? Come on, get with me. Don't lose me this next few minutes. It'll change your life forever if you get the right picture. And so we take this, the flesh is that covering, it's that outward layer, and we take it off, and thank God we're going to get a new body to cover this spirit up when we come back, and it won't have as many lumps in it, and it won't have as many tears in it, and some of the parts that aren't here, they'll be on it. And are you with me? So if you could see your real you, your spirit, it would be in the form that your body is, except that covering would be gone. Does that make sense? And he put a control center, if you will. It's called your soul. It's your hard drive. It's where all the information stored that makes your body do everything it does. Is that simple enough? Okay. I made some diagrams. Go ahead and put it up. Made some diagrams just because and trust me, that looks a whole lot better than what I sent to Keith. Because you can read that, okay? But anyway, okay. We are a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. Are you with me? Okay, now you need to understand this to start with. The spirit is how we contact God. Actually, it's how we make contact to the spirit realm. You don't do it with your soul. You can't do it with your body. You make contact with God. You make contact with the spirit realm with your spirit. Your soul is what allows you to make contact with your mental intellect. Okay? And your body is what causes you to be able to contact the world around you, the physical world. Are you with me? Now separate these three in your mind. Okay? Put the next one up. Because this is the thing, in your spirit, I'm going to use the word feeling, even though feeling isn't the right word to use there, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. In your spirit is where you feel emptiness, hopelessness, futility, lostness, loneliness. How many ever felt any of that? You feel that in your spirit, not in your mind, not in your soul. You feel that in your spirit. Now, if you really want to think about this for a minute, that describes a lost person. Huh? That describes a lost person. Because when you find Jesus, when you're born again, hope, he fills you with hope, fulfillment, a sense of belonging, worthfulness, meaning. Let you know you're loved by God. Does that make sense? See, there's a void there. And when this void is there, that's all you can feel is the emptiness, hopelessness, the lostness, the loneliness. Now, nothing can fill that void but Jesus. Nothing can change that part but Jesus. That's why when you try to stop that loneliness by finding another partner or finding enough men or enough women, you try to fill that emptiness with all the treasures in the world. You try to fill them with something your soul conjures up. It doesn't work. It lasts for a little bit. Does that make sense? The only place you can find that fulfillment for that void in there is Jesus. Okay? That's simple enough. So now, if God's going to contact you, where's He going to contact you? With your spirit. Through your spirit. Okay, now the soul is the place where mental anguish, emotional instability, paralyzing the paralyzation of your will through fear. You understand what I'm saying? That's where all those things reside. Now let me ask you something: Can you still be saved and have some mental anguish and some problems in there and some emotional instability? Huh? Some fear that just paralyzes you. Can you be saved and still have some of those in your life? Sure you can, because your mind doesn't get saved. Your spirit is what got saved. Your spirit is what got born again. And if you don't renew your mind, those things stay in your mind. Does that make sense? See, and that's why He comes to us in our mind, and our mind's not renewed, and He makes us feel all these things, and He makes us do all these things, and we think, oh, I'm not saved. Okay, so your body now, your body is what comes in contact with the physical world. So your body is what's feeling sickness, what feels weakness, what feels disease and pain. See, your five senses, your body tells your mind all kinds of things. Your body picks up things that you hear, you see, you feel. You know, they said this about me. I don't think he likes me. My back hurts. Oh, my knee. Oh, I'm getting the flu. Your body picks up all this stuff in the physical realm and sends the message to your mind, to your soul. Help me, Holy Spirit, help me. Put the next one up. So here's what happens. The Holy Spirit talks to our spirit. See, and let me just say this. There's two ways you hear God. Two main ways He's going to lead you and guide you, and that's with an inward witness and an inward voice. And I'll get to those in a second. But when you hear that voice, it'll be your voice. It'll be the voice of your spirit. Because the Holy Spirit talks to your spirit, and then your spirit talks to your soul, and then, you know, this is what happened. The Holy Spirit talks to your spirit. Then your spirit, see the little arrows there, your spirit talks to your soul. Your soul decides what you're going to think about. Huh? And so the Spirit tells our soul something, and our soul thinks about it. We reason it. How many times in the Bible did Jesus say, because of your unbelief, you didn't get healed? The power was here to heal you, but it says they reasoned in their minds. You with me? And then our body responds to whatever our soul, whatever signals our mind sends to it, whatever our mind tells it to do, it does. Our body receives all the information from the senses, from the natural physical world. Is this making any sense? I don't want to go on if it's not making any sense. Because you're gonna be faced with decisions, you're gonna be asking God for something, and you're gonna hear You're going to hear something and you're going to wonder, now is that you, God, or is that me? And you can separate these things in your mind. That's why you do a diagram. That's the only reason I did this, is so you could have a picture in your mind to pull back up. Okay? Okay, now here's the thing, as I see it. Our spirit and our body, our flesh, are competing for control of our soul. See, because our lives will go in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, that's the way he'll be. You can lie, yeah it is. You can line all the word up with what I'm telling you today. And if you do, it'll make sense. And God doesn't want any more ignorant kids anymore. I didn't say stupid. Stupid means you can't learn. Ignorant just means you don't know, but we're going to know. Okay? And our bodies, our physical bodies, will be led by one or the other. They'll be led by what our mind says. So you see the conflict. How many recognize feeling the conflict in you? Okay? So what's the key? Then the key is we must renew our mind. I didn't write that one down. Let me look at it real quick. Hebrews 4. No, that's not the one I want. Romans 12. Romans 12:2. This is why Paul said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Does that make sense? What did Hebrews say? What did Hebrews just say? He said, the word of God is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll divide the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll divide what's spirit and what's soul and what's body. A renewed mind, renewing it with the word. Paul says, renew your mind with the washing of the word. Let me tell you something. We are already conformed to this world. But when we get saved, we get born again, our spirit comes back alive. It's regenerated. It becomes new. And it's like a baby. It's like the baby. And you got to feed this baby. And you got to feed it. If you feed it the right things, it'll grow up healthy. We are already conformed to the world because we've been living in it all our life. And so when we get saved, our mind still thinks that way. Our body still acts that way. I mean, after all, it is the flu season, so it's the time of year that I always get the flu. But when the mind is renewed with the word, then some of us start to say, well, you know what? I'm just not going to have it this year. I'm just not going to take it this year. The spirit must grow. The way you feed the spirit is through the soul. And so you feed it the word, and the word comes. That's why he says you meditate on this word day and night. You just meditate on it all the time, and it'll cause you to have good success. It'll make your... He doesn't say it will. He says you meditate on it, you'll have good success, and you'll do it. It'll cause you to. It'll cause you to be different. Spirit, soul, and body. A strong spirit and a strong soul, a renewed spirit or a renewed soul, the body will come in line with it. Whatever the spirit and the mind decide, the body will come in line with it. You say, well, I've been believing the word and I've been saying the word and I've just been doing it, but I still got sick. Well, don't get mad. There's not nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with the devil. He's programmed us. He's programmed you to accept everything. See, he's the one that told you turn up the air because you won't have enough money to pay your bill. Turn down the heat because be cold because you won't have enough money. He's the one that puts the fear in there, not God. And that's the way we're trained. Everything we see, everything on the news tells us it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. But you know what? All the folks that are up at the top end, they're not worried about it getting bad. They're just trying to get our vote. God's trying to say, I want you to see, Hank, you're at the upper end. Because everything I have, the Holy Spirit will make available to you. Okay, you see how it's supposed to work then? Let me ask you something real quick here. So when the voices come, we got to separate them. Because there's some voices that will say, did you see what Scott did to you? Did you hear what Jamie said about you? Did you see what Bill... There'll be voices come to you. See, let me ask you something now. If voices of anger and voices of unforgiveness and voices, get even voices, where are those coming from? You want me to start over? Okay, I'll start over in John 14. Where are those voices coming from? See, we need to learn. We need to learn. Let me tell you something. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit is going to continually, and I'll read those verses in a minute here, going to continually lead you into a place where you're closer with God, where your relationship with God is strong. The Holy Spirit has one purpose, and that's to lead us to the Father. And on the journey to the Father, yeah, give him some clap. That's okay. On the journey to the Father, he starts showing us and adding to us everything the Father has for us and everything he has planned for us on the journey. We just need to take the journey. And we just need to stay the course. So now let me ask you something. See, your spirit is never going to tell you anything that leads you away from God. Okay? Now I'm just going to get real here for a second or two and then I'll finish. Your spirit is never going to tell you, don't go to church today. I'm sorry, it is not going to tell you that. Your spirit is never going to tell you, don't give to God because you won't have enough left. Your spirit will never tell you those kind of things. Your spirit will never tell you, she got me, so I'll get her. Your spirit will never tell you those things. Your spirit will tell you things that's in line with the Word. Folks, I'm just getting blunt with some of this stuff because we're down to the end of the thing and it isn't going to be but just a few minutes until we're standing looking God in the eye and Jesus in the eye and he's going to say, yeah, and every excuse we had is going to just melt away. Because he's going to say, no, I told you. I told you if you'd have done this, you'd have stayed out of that jam. If I'd have told you, your marriage wouldn't have broke. If you did what I told you, you wouldn't be broke. If you did what I told you, he wouldn't have been able to slip this up on you. So what's he doing? He's trying to keep everything from getting to that spirit. And if he can get it in the body, you got the picture, get it in the body. If he can get it in your mind, and pretty soon you think you're hearing God. And you're not hearing God. Only one way. He said, there's only one way to this place and the Father that I'm going to prepare. I'm the way. Not me, Jesus. He says, I'm the way. I'm the way. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. So why? What was that? Why are we transformed? Where was that? Oh, there it is. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove or that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I just don't know what God's will is. Well, get in the book and transform your mind and start thinking like he thinks and you'll know what the will of God for you is. Well, so I hear this voice and it says, man, and I heard this a week or so ago. Man, your throat's getting sore. Man, I can feel that in my chest. Anybody ever hear those voices? Man, now you got the sniffles. Oh, man, you know, and the voice said, and it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. And so what do I do if I keep listening to it and I keep thinking about it? It keeps telling my body back, yep, you're getting the flu. Yep, you're getting it. Yep, 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 you're right. What do? I transform myself. I let the word transform me. I let it redo me. And I start casting down those imaginations and all those high thoughts because they're coming against the knowledge of God. Nope, I'm not taking that. I don't have time for the flu this year. I don't have time to have a sore throat. I got to speak the word of God. I don't have time. Sorry, try me again next year, but I don't have time this year. By His stripes I am healed. Oh, this is a lot better than you realize it is. Okay, so real quick, he talks to us by an inward witness and an inward voice. The inward witness is that check in your spirit. Not in your mind, that check inside here. And remember, your spirit's not just something here. Remember, your spirit is this. Is in the same form as your body. The real you is in the same form as your body. I mean, we've added padding and we've added things, and but the spirit it puts on the clothes of the flesh. You with me? And then there's a command center, a hard drive that he listen. We're just like God. God is a spirit. And God put on a robe of flesh. He put on Jesus and He zipped it up and He came down here. And in Jesus, now we can put on that suit and we can get in Jesus. Because in Jesus is the command center. In Jesus is the hard drive. In Jesus is the thing that makes all the body work. The Holy Spirit. Boy, somebody is going to hear this, and you're going to get renewed, and you're going to start walking, and you're going to start believing you can be just like Jesus, believing you can talk just like Him, believing you can act just like Him, believing if He did it, I can do it, believing if He wasn't sick, I don't have to be sick, believe it. Somebody's going to hear me, and if just one or two of you will do it, I promise it'll spread like wildfire. That inward witness, that check in your spirit, something just doesn't feel right. Amen. Or maybe, let's just don't hit the negative part, that part in there that says, I feel good about that. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm, the inward witness. Are you with me? Amen. That inward witness. And let me just throw this out real quick. That's why sometimes it's hard. When the emotions are high, it's hard to hear the voice of your spirit. Because the voice of your spirit, that inward witness, that inward voice is soft and low. He's not yelling at you like I just did. He's leading you and guiding you. He loves you. And He's showing you the Father's love. And He's pulling you into all this goodness that God has for you. Amen. And when you're all emotionally up, if you're excited about something, I'm getting a new car, hallelujah, I'm excited. Let your emotions settle down. And then let that voice tell you if you're supposed to have that new car. Well, they said I could have it with 158 easy payments. Hallelujah, I can drive, and Ron can see me driving in it, and Tracy can see me driving in it, and hallelujah. Everybody say, look what the Lord has done, and the Lord didn't have done it. And about 20 payments into that, if it takes that long. Oh, God, I thought that was you. Let your emotions settle down and hear the Spirit. If you've had some kind of trauma, somebody you love, you've lost somebody you love, you've had some kind of trauma you've been through, don't make major decisions. Wait. Wait. That's just free. That one wasn't part of it. That's free. Because if you do it when you're in the height and the emotions and the hurt and the pain or in the excitement and the joy, nine out of ten times you'll make the wrong choice. The inward voice. Remember, our spirit speaks to us. That inward voice won't sound like thunder, even though sometimes God does audibly speak to us. But most of the time, the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit and our spirit speaks to us. Okay? Now you got to remember something, and I'll wrap this up. You don't believe it, but I'm almost done. We hear many voices. Okay? Your feelings, your five senses are the voice of the physical realm. Your body, your five senses feels what's going on around you, feels the world. Okay, it sends those signals it hears what they said about you, or it senses what you think they said about you, or it, you know, hear what I'm saying. And anybody ever, I don't have time to go into, anybody ever just start thinking about somebody? I was thinking about somebody here a while back, and I thought, man, and I started thinking about how they didn't like me, and I started thinking about, and then I started thinking, I bet they said this, and I bet they did that, and I mean, after a few days, I'd built this case up, and I was mad at this person, and I was upset with them, and then all of a sudden, I came to myself, and I went, you hadn't even talked to them. You hadn't even heard anybody that has talked to them. You don't even know. You made all that up in your mind. Now, I know the voice of your flesh is telling you now, hurry and get home. I'm hungry. But the voice of your spirit is saying, come on, tell me something else. Tell me, this is life to me. I need this. Tell me. How's that for fixing that? So your feelings, your five senses are the voice of your body. Reason is the voice of your soul. It's the voice of your mental intellect, your mind. Okay, reason. Well, I don't know. You know, well, yeah, but I tried that last year. And I tried to believe for that, and it didn't happen. And so, you know, I mean, reason. Well, yeah, I know they said they're sorry, but I just really don't believe that. I reason. That's not coming from your spirit. Are you with me? Amen. And your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Amen. Okay? When your spirit talks to you, it'll speak to you through your conscience. Now listen to me, here's the danger. If you're not born again, that conscience can lead you astray. Your spirit has not been regenerated. You're not a new creation in there. It's not, and it will lead you and it'll lead you the wrong way. Your conscience, well, I really don't see anything wrong with, well, I really don't, you know. Well, it'll lead you into sin. And remember why the Holy Spirit's trying to lead us away from sin? Because judgment's already been pronounced on sin. Amen. Baby, when it's over and God goes, at sin, that's His judgment. When it's at the end, He's going to go, that's where His judgment's coming. His judgment's not coming at you, it's coming at sin. That's why you need to get all the sin out of your life. That's why you need to come to Jesus and turn your life around. Amen. But if you're reborn, then you can start trusting your conscience. Why? Well, because He said, I'll write on your heart all my laws. I'll write on my heart. And there's something about when you get saved. Anybody after you got saved, before you got saved, it just really didn't seem anything wrong with that. And you just didn't mind doing that. But after you got saved, it just, you might even have still done it for a while. You might even still be doing it. But every time it just doesn't feel right. It just, I shouldn't do that. If you're born again, you can trust that because He writes it on your heart. Okay, real quick. And then I want to end with four scriptures, but real quick here, He said, just some safeguards, just some checks that'll help you when you're trying to say, well, now, is this God? Is this my spirit? Or is this my mind? Or what? One is not hard. Does it require faith? Because Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please him without faith. So does it require faith? I don't know how I can do it, but bless God, if he said it, I can get it done. Does it require faith? Two, does it go against reason and rationalization? Does it go against natural thinking? I just don't understand. I don't understand how I can be healed. I don't understand. But you said I'm healed, God, and so I believe I am healed. I'm not going by what my body's telling me. I'm not going by what my mind's telling me. I'm going by what my spirit's saying. And does it go beyond reasoning and rationalization? Well, it's okay if I do that. God's told me it's okay if I do that. God's never going to tell you it's okay to do something that leads you further away from Him. You might be able to do some of that stuff and still make it, but that's not Him telling you that. And remember, sin is fun for a season, but the end of it's death. And three, does it line up with the Word? If it doesn't line up with the Word, baby, throw it away. Push it away. If it doesn't line up with the Word, it's not right. Okay, that's why you need to renew your mind. That's why you need to put this in you. That's why you renew your mind by the written Word, and you renew your mind by the relationship with God. Revelation, all revelation is an intimate relationship with Him, where I'm sharing and He's sharing a closeness with Him, and He reveals Himself to me. That's revelation. That's revelation. Does it line up with the Word? And man, He'll just engulf you. He'll just possess you. He'll take you over if you'll let Him. And you'll make your way prosperous. And you'll have good success. Okay? I'm done here. Do you have peace? Colossians 3:15, if you read it, and I think it's in the Amplified, it says, "Let peace be your umpire." I just don't have peace. Listen, you might not have peace because it might be something your mind's telling you, but if you don't have peace, just stop. Just back up and analyze and rationalize. Where's this coming from? My spirit, my body, or my mind? Let peace be your umpire. And the last is, does it take? I want to turn to Romans 8 here and read you scripture here, but does it take courage? Let me tell you something. God will never tell you, the Holy Spirit will never tell you to back up. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to sit down. The Holy Spirit will never tell you, He'll always tell you to go forward, to move into all that God has for you, to move into His fullness. It'll take courage, because I don't know how we're going to do a roundup and make that stuff happen. I don't know how we're going to be able to, God, to cause all those people to respond. I don't know how. So it takes some courage to go, God, I don't know how, but You'll do it. Amen. It's all You. Amen. Well, I found some scriptures that sum up everything I've said. And they're in Romans 8. And I'll just read them to you real quick. First one's 14 through 17 in Romans 8. And we have a favorite verse that we always like to pull out, and everybody uses, even unsaved people. And we know that all things work together for good. We always quote that part of it. But this is all talking about that. But he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father." You understand what he says there? He says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're my child, you're my son. And I'll put something in you that'll make you cry out, Daddy, I love you, Daddy. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And indeed we suffer with Him, we shall also be glorified together with Him. Do you hear that? It's the Spirit of God. He leads us into that inheritance, leads us into all God has for us. Now, if you're like me, I don't know which way to go most of the time. I don't know what to do. Anybody like me most of the time? Verses 27 and 28 says this. But he, who's he? The Holy Spirit. But he who searches the heart, he knows the mind of the Spirit, and because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you understand what he said? The Holy Spirit knows the heart of God. The Holy Spirit knows what God has for you. The Holy Spirit knows what His plan and purpose for you are. He knows everything that God's made for you and has for you. And even though you don't know, that's what the Holy Spirit's praying. He's praying, Father, let your will be done in Ron's life. Let your will be done and lead him into what you have for him. Lead you into what she has, you have for her. And then, if that's happening, then we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and those that are called according to His purpose. Woo! Glory to God! We'll spend a whole service on that chapter one of these days soon. But if you go on and read, he tells you what his purpose is. His purpose is that we be conformed into the image of his dear son. He says, Hank, I want you to be my dear son. Vanessa, I want you to be my dear daughter. You don't know how to do that. But if you'll let me, I'll pull you in. I'll lead you into this place. Well, glory to God. If you got something from God, stand up and say, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's quit. Let's quit. I planned to get done a little earlier than that, and I didn't. Pray something with me. Everybody in here, pray something with me. Holy Spirit, I ask you to give me a revelation of what I just heard. I ask you to speak to me and start right now. Praise God. How many ready for that? Going to lead you and guide you into all truth, everything you need to know, okay? Well, I didn't mean to take so long, but do you see how important this message was? Listen, you might want to get the CD. And just listen to it. Don't listen to what I say, but listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Take all the stuff that I said that didn't make any difference and throw that away, but listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you, because this is the key. The Holy Spirit has one job, and that is to lead us to Daddy. And Daddy's got the keys. Huh? Daddy's got the keys to everything in your life that you need and want and desire. And he's already got it prepared for you. And I just like to do like my Brent, my youngest son, how he used to do me especially. He'd come get on my lap, and he'd just look up at me and he'd say, Daddy, I love you. And I'd go, what do you want, son? What can I buy you? What can I give you? And if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit, who is the key to all those good gifts? Woo! Glory! Say praise the Lord! If you're in here and you're not saved right now, just say, Jesus. Everybody say it. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I want to live for you. I give you my life. I need your help. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that prayer and you didn't know it before, come on down and let Doug and let some of us, Charles, some of us pray with you down here, okay? Hey, I love you. Thank you for putting up with me today. I'm believing the Lord to bless you this week. I'm believing the Holy Spirit to tell you things that you never dreamed you'd hear and show you things you never dreamed you'd see. You go and be blessed in the name of Jesus. Tell somebody you love them and hug their neck. I'll see you next time. If you're a first-time attender, I'd love to shake your hand, give you some information.